All right, Romans chapter 8. Let's look in verses 26 and 27 tonight. All righty. The Bible says there, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. That's interesting, ain't it? We don't even know what to pray for. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. All right, there's a lot of stuff there that we can pick apart and find about that. But there's some good instruction here about prayer. And, you know, I learned in Mexico, they have two words for prayer. One is a word that just means you recite prayers like the Hail Mary. Hail Mary, full of grace, blah, 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 blah. I mean, it's just something they just say the same words over and over. You know, like deacons do in Baptist churches. That's a recitation. That's the word they use for it, kind of. It's, yeah. Then there's praying, talking to God. They know the difference. But they put all their stock in that recitation. It's like pagans do that. You know, just religious people do that. It's like an incantation. Like you say these words and they have some power just because you chant this series of words. It's meaningless. Just meaningless. If you want to, you know, you don't want to pray like, you're going to depend on that when you're in big trouble and you need God's help right now? I mean, when it's urgent for God to help you, you're going to recite some pre-packaged prayer like that? Did you ever see these guys read their prayers? They stand at the pulpit with their eyes open and they read this prayer off of a paper. And that's a prayer? No, that ain't no prayer. No, we got to pray. There's a whole lot of difference in that kind of praying. I remember I was reading about, who was it on the ship? Oh, it was George Mueller. He was on a ship coming to Canada to speak at a thing, at some deal. And they got fogged in out on the ocean. And he was on a tight schedule to be there, just had enough time to get there. And so the ship couldn't move, you know, they were in the fog. And so he told the captain about it. He said, I've got to be at a certain place. And he said, well, you know, there's no way we're going to make it. You're just not going to make that. And he said, well, yeah, we're going to. He said, I'm going to pray. And so the captain claimed to be a Christian too, and so they got down to pray, and Mueller put his hand on the captain and said, don't pray. And he said, well, why? And he said, well, first of all, you don't believe God is going to answer your prayer. And besides that, he already has. And he said, if you'll just go out and look, the fog will be gone. And it was. So, you know, he believed in prayer. And it did. A prayer that is effectual, that's real. And that's the kind of prayer that everybody wants. But it's, you know, we've got to separate this out. God's not a vending machine. He's not a lottery ticket machine where you can just punch in the right buttons and he'll spill out the blessings for you. If you just do it just right, if you'll just say it just right, if you'll, you know, a lot of people got that idea. It's, if you frame your words and you say it in the right order and say it just right, that's the key. No, that's nonsense. Praying. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. And let me read you another verse. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, the Bible says, praying. This is right after the armor. Put on the full armor of God and all this. At the end of that, he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And that's a capital S. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Praying in the Spirit. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. The Spirit of God. That capital S means that's the Holy Spirit of God. Small s, that's your spirit. Your spirit. I was reading in 1 Corinthians 14, where it's about the tongues and all that, and they was praying in the spirit. He said, I'll pray with my spirit, but I'll have my understanding also. You know, people talk in tongues, and they say that's their spirit praying. But they don't know what they said. Nobody else knows what they said. And he said, no, that ain't the way to do it. I thought, I made a note on it and said, that verse right there just throws all that right out the window. So, if we pray. Now, prayer has its foundation in the Word of God. Like everything else about our Christian walk and our faith, understanding everything, it is all based in the Word of God. We don't just imagine what God's like. We don't just imagine what's right and wrong according to our feelings and opinions and tastes. No, that ain't how we do it. That ain't how we find our way. We go from the Word of God. It's the foundation of everything. If God says it, that's the way it is. If God says yes, then it's yes. If God says no, then it's no. And everything is not all that clear in life. So we need to know the whole book, so we know the mind of God, so we understand how He thinks. Did you ever work with somebody that just thinks like you do? How much easier it is to work with them? And you don't have to look over your shoulder, you can just count on it. I mean, they see it just like you see it, they think like you think, so everything just works so smooth. Have you ever worked with somebody who thinks absolutely, completely opposite of the way you think? It's a nightmare, ain't it? Oh my goodness. Well, if you're going to pray, and if you're going to work with God, if you're going to obey God and understand, you got to think like He does. And you're not going to think like He does until you get in the book and start reading about how He's, all the things He said through all these millennia, all these thousands of years. What God has said, how He's dealt with situations and people. This book's full of it. It's full of it. It's all about how God has dealt with man and what He's done about this situation and that situation and what He says about what's abominable to Him and what He loves. And so you can read the book and you can know God. You can know how He thinks. You can start thinking like Him. Well, you ain't going to be able to pray unless you got that foundation. You're going to have to be in one accord with God, in agreement. You're going to have to see things. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. If we pray in the will of God, we pray according to our knowledge of God and His law and His promises. You can't pray if you don't know about God and His law and His promises and some knowledge of Him Himself. You don't know what to ask. It's what it says here. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Without the Spirit of God helping us, we don't even know how to pray. We don't know what to pray for. Well, I do. I know what I want. Well, see, that ain't you asking amiss because you're asking on your about from your lust that you may consume it upon yourself. You can't pray out of selfish lusts, desires. I mean, you think, that's what all the TV preachers say. You can pray for a Cadillac, pray for a Lincoln, pray for a Mercedes-Benz. Remember that? Somebody wrote a song about that. Oh, Lord, give me a Mercedes-Benz. Remember that song? Jesus, would Jesus wear a Rolex and all of that nonsense? Remember the one about drop kick me, Jesus, through the goalposts of life? Ain't that deep theology there? We complain about today's music, but that's from years ago. Mercy. This mess started a long time ago. There's always been a bunch of kooks. Always been a bunch of shallow-minded goofballs in the middle of everything, ruining the work of God. We got to pray in the will of God. You know, if you ask what you will, well, if my will, if His will is my will, then I'm going to pray in the will of God. You know, I can't have my own agenda, my own goals, my own desires, and ask God to help me. That ain't going to go nowhere. Now you get on God's side, and your desires are for the kingdom of God, truly. For the kingdom of God. For the glory of God. No matter what happens to you. No matter if you get any credit or not. Then you can pray in the will of God. What we know about God is based upon His written word and not on individual revelations, visions, dreams, our own desires, or anything else. What we know about God is based upon the written word of God. You're getting off out of balance if you start forming opinions and ideas and concepts of God by what's happened in your life. That's the wrong, you're looking at it from the wrong end. Now, the things that happen in our life confirm what the Bible says about God. If it's God working in your life, you can go to the Word of God and confirm it. But to make up your mind about God and give Him attributes and personality traits from your experiences and from how things have turned out in your life, you're doing it wrong. Now, y'all understand that? You understand what I'm saying? You can go through things in your life, especially bad things. And looking back, you can see how God helped you. And you can also, if it's really that God that helped you, and you're really seeing it, you can go to the Word of God and confirm it with the Word of God. Now, the Spirit of God helps us to understand and apply the Scriptures to ourselves, personally, and in our present situation or problem, whatever it is, is making a matter of prayer. See, the Spirit of God helps us to understand and apply the Scriptures. Now, stay with me. See here, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. All right? The Spirit of God helps us to understand the Scriptures as they apply to our situation. Now, the Word of God, that's where it's all at. That's why it's so important to read it, to study it, to know it, to hide it in your heart. Because when you get in trouble, the Spirit of God can't bring the Word of God to your mind if you haven't read it. If it's not in your heart, if it's not in your mind, then the Spirit of God has nothing to draw on. It's not always when you're sitting looking at it, the page, and reading it off the page. Now, sometimes, yeah, but most of the time, it's not. It's the Word of God that you've read and meditated on and thought about, and it's in there. And the Spirit of God can just push the right button. He knows right where it's stored in that bank up there, and He can pull it out right at the moment that it needs to be, that you need to be reminded of it. And it applies in the situation you're in. Well, that's the way it works in prayer. That's the way it works in prayer. Our infirmity is our blindness or inability to find the application of the Word of God in a real and personal way. That's our infirmity. A lot of people try. I've seen people all through the years, they fumble and it's bad. It's like watching a child try to do something that he's not big enough to do. Take the Word of God and apply verses out of it to some situation or need where it don't fit. You ever see anybody do that? It's clumsy, it's awkward, and it's inappropriate, but they're inexperienced in it, and they're trying to do it themselves. That's our infirmity. Mm-hmm. Grasping for verses out of the Bible to help us. Well, see, that's flesh. That's just ourselves doing it. There's a different way for it to be done. And that's by the Spirit of God. See, God's real. And He's got to be real in your life. You got to be led by the Spirit. Now, that's what we started out in Romans chapter 8. As many as are led of the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. All that's in Romans chapter 8 here. Walking after the Spirit, not after the flesh. Walking after the Spirit, being led by the Spirit. Having the Spirit of God. Well, it's in every area of life. But see, we're talking about prayer now. He's switched over here and talking about how the Spirit helps us to pray. Because we don't know even what to pray for, like we ought. We pray for everything, and we're so influenced by our self. That's the big problem in praying. Lord, help me. Help us. Help them. Lord, do this. Lord, do that. Like, you know, praying is just a bunch of requests to God, petitions. Well, that's, prayer can be partly that, but where does that desire come from that we're praying for? Mostly right here. Without the Spirit, you'll be praying for yourself more than you are anybody else or anything else. The Spirit will lead you to pray for others. The Spirit will lead you to pray much more for everything else besides yourself. The church, the work of God, other people, the lost, our leaders. You know, there's so many needs in the world. And the Spirit of God will lead you to pray for others, not so much for yourself. That's a big deal right there. You know, if the Spirit's really leading you in prayer by who you're praying for, amen. Y'all getting this? Because there at the end of the verse, and he that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Search the prayers of Jesus. How much praying did he do for himself? Nah. The greatest kind of prayer, the real kind of praying, is praying intercessory prayer. It's praying for somebody else. You think God would be pleased with that? You think God would be more pleased with you if you're praying for your own self and your own problems and all that? Or you think he'd be more pleased if you're praying for somebody else's problems? I mean, don't you know that he'll take care of you? Don't you know that he knows about your problems? What he cares about is that we care about somebody else's problems. It's just the same principle that works in across the board in our life. If you don't, it's like the preacher that told the old woman she was all depressed and then closed in on herself because her husband had died and she's just sitting around being miserable. And he said, I want you to start making a pie every day. Just make a pie and think of somebody to take it to. And it healed her because she got her mind off of herself and onto somebody else. You want to be a happy Christian? Pray for other people. Look around you and see all the needs. And I guarantee the Spirit will help your infirmity about praying. You'll learn how to pray. You'll learn how to pray effectively. Anyone who's had any real experience with God has had the experience of the Spirit breathing a living scripture to his heart while he sought God. You ever had scripture come to your mind while you're praying? Oh, yeah. Where'd it come from? Where do you think it come from? We don't know what we should pray for. The Spirit leads us and shows us what to pray for. Now, the Spirit of God leads us to pray, period. It's the Spirit of God that prompts you, that causes that desire in you to pray. And pray the way we're talking about here. It's hard to say this, kind of, but it's our own lack of faith that causes us to pray for ourselves so much and for other people so little. For us to stay wrapped up in our own problems and our own needs and our own distresses is selfishness. And we're focused on ourselves and worried and fretting because God ain't delivering us like we think, and we ain't even thinking about nobody else. And the Spirit of God leads us to pray for other people. Listen to this, Romans chapter 8, down in verse 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. It's the Spirit of God that leads us to pray. Period. Leads us to pray. That thing about praying. Pray without what? Ceasing. Praying always. We just read that there in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. It's an attitude, a state that we're to be in always. The Spirit leads us to pray. Always. About everything. It's the first thing that comes to our mind, not the last. When we're sick, the first thing we ought to do is pray. Do you do that? You say, Lord, I need your help here. Please help me. Or help them. This person's sick. Lord, my kid, my wife, please help them. Mm-hmm. That's what we ought to do. Turn to the Lord first. Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. And because you're sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So it's the Spirit that leads us to pray. Spirit of God. I mean, no wonder people that are lost don't pray except when they're in trouble. If you're really a child of God, you're going to be, that's just going to be your thing. The Spirit of God in you leads you to pray. Just to cry, Abba, Father, all the time. About everything. You don't have to necessarily, it's good to do that, but it's not necessarily that you got to find a quiet place and get away from everybody and everything's just got to be so-so for you to pray. No, that ain't the way it is. You can pray no matter where you're at. I've always said, how in the world do they think they can outlaw praying in school or anywhere else? I can pray anywhere, and they cannot stop me. What are you talking about? Well, you can't pray. Okay, well, I won't pray. I'm not talking to God. I ain't going to speak to Him. Can't do it. I started to say, God, I'm sorry, I can't talk to you, but that's praying. Can't do that. Can't even tell Him you can't talk to Him. Nonsense. Right. You can pray without opening your mouth. Yeah? Well, how does the Spirit of God work with us in prayer? He's our guide. That's how. He's our guide in prayer. He doesn't pray for us. Now, it says He maketh intercession for us, but that don't mean that He does the praying for us. I've heard people present that way. That, you know, you just sit down there and you just groan and you don't even know what Spirit's telling the Father because He's interceding for me and, you know, oh, that's nonsense. That's as bad as the tongue speaking nonsense where you don't know what's going on. No, you can't pray without knowledge. You can't pray without understanding. That's right. You got to have understanding. You got to know what you're praying for, what you're asking for. And it's the Spirit that intercedes for us. He doesn't pray for us or suggest the words or guide our speech. It's not some mystical thing that He's talking about here. Here's what He does. How does the Spirit of God work with us in prayer? He brings the truth before our minds and leads us to think upon the situation or the person that we should pray for. Did you ever try that? Just wait on the Lord. Everybody just sits there. They just think they've got to. Praying means there has to be a continual stream of words coming from my mouth while I'm praying, or I ain't praying. No, that ain't the way it is either. Praying is not just you talking. Praying is communion with God. I mean, it's all right to not say something for a little bit. If you ever get around somebody where they won't let you get a word in edgewise, that ain't much of a conversation, is it? They never give you a break. Well, what do you think God feels like when you just... You can't hear nothing from God as long as you're talking. So how about shutting up for a minute? Letting God talk to you. The Spirit will lead you to do that. If you'll wait. If you'll wait on the Lord. And if you'll wait, the Spirit of God will. And if you give time enough, and it ain't that He's tarrying, it's that your heart's so overcharged and your mind's so full of junk and you can't get it all cleared out in just a second. You got to come apart and be still and let God work on you for a little bit. When we're led by the Spirit this way, our feelings will get excited. Our feelings are excited about the subject, and we can pray earnestly in regard to it. He'll lead you to thinking about somebody, some situation, some need. Like the church. Like some family. Like some people. Like these folks at the funeral yesterday. You know, if you just, you know, you just, thoughts are just like, they're in orbit around you and they're just, you know, but if you'll stop and think on it a little bit, think on them, what are they doing right now? You know, what's going through their mind? How are they feeling? The Spirit will lead you to do that. That's what He'll do in prayer. He'll slow you down. He'll make you park somewhere and think on this and think on this. And think of the Word of God. I mean, He'll bring some Word of God into the situation that'll apply here. And you know what you can do then? You can ask God for help for certain things. And you're in the will of God. And that's pleasing to God. And He's glad to move and do things above what you're able to ask or think. Now, the only way to avoid having feelings when the Spirit of God puts the truth before your mind, the only way you can stop all that is, and it's very easy, is allow your mind to drift or focus on something else. If you don't gird up the loins of your mind, and if you don't get some control over your mind, you won't be able to do any good at all. The Spirit of God won't be able to do any good with you because your mind's flying too fast and running all over the place, and it's just like one of them crazy dogs that won't be still. That's the way it is. Just running back and forth and back and forth and yipping and a yapping and a looking at one thing and another. And no, your mind's got to settle down. You got to settle down and focus. And the Spirit of God will do that for you. If you'll settle down, the Spirit of God will lead you right to somebody, some need. Something to pray for that's right before God, that is acceptable before God. That's what this is telling us here. That's what the Spirit of God will do. We don't do it much because we don't give Him time. We don't do it much because we're too focused on our own needs and problems and wants. And we bring our petitions to God, but it's about me more than it is about anybody else. Now, the Spirit of God will help you to focus on somebody else, something else besides yourself. This is a fact. It's just as much of a fact as if you put your hand in the fire, you're going to feel it right away. Put your hand in the fire, you're going to feel it. You get right with God and sit still, and the Spirit get to work on you and in you to pray in prayer, you'll feel it. Everybody wants the feelings first, but you don't do it that way. That ain't the way God works. You don't buy it on the credit with God. No, you do it the way He said. If you want God's blessing, and if you want to know God working in, even in your prayer, you got to understand these things, and you got to do it. How do you know if it's the Spirit's influence or if it's some other influence in your prayer? Well, we ought to learn to recognize and cherish the influence and the working of the Spirit of God in our lives. You really ought to be discerning and observant about that matter, the Spirit of God working in your life. Is this the Spirit of God? People treat it too lightly. And you know, that's really bordering on blasphemy of the Holy Ghost of God. When you go to attributing things to Him that are not. You know, I hear people and they, you know, maybe they have good intentions, but that don't buy nothing with God. You better be careful about what you give credit to the Holy Spirit for. If he did it, he deserves the glory, and he deserves the credit and the honor. But people attribute to him trivial things that, and they're imagining that it's him. No, and I hope you'll get this and understand it and take it right. Be discerning. Is it the Spirit of God? How you know? Well, the Spirit of God will always be in the will of God according to the Word of God. The Spirit of God won't lead you to do things contrary to the Word of God or the will of God. And I've heard people give Him credit for doing that. And that's wrong. I think that gets you in trouble with God too. We should learn to recognize that voice, that leading of the Spirit, the working of the Spirit. Just the fact that we're feeling and thinking and burdened down about someone, that's pretty good evidence that the Spirit of God is working. Why would you care otherwise? If you're really feeling and thinking and burdened down about somebody, then it's pretty good evidence that the Spirit of God is leading you in that matter. We don't usually naturally think on those things with a lot of feeling, do you? Because people just don't really generally care that much about other people unless it's close, unless somebody really means something to you. You most of the time you just really don't care that much. When your heart really gets burdened about them, you're thinking about them a lot, you're concerned, you're looking for some way to help them, to get them to God, to get them to understand. Reckon that could be the Holy Spirit? Probably, yeah. Why would a devil lead you to think about things like that and feel that way? Why would the devil want you to care about somebody else? I don't think he would. I think he'd be throwing all kinds of stuff in the opposite direction. He'd be trying to get you to think that they think you're worthless. He'd be trying to get you to think that they're talking bad about you. They don't like you. That's the devil. That ain't the Spirit of God. Spirit of God, the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. That's the first thing. Along with all that other stuff about patience and gentleness and kindness and all of that. So, if you're really feeling that way and concerned and your mind and your heart's moved toward somebody like that, that's probably the Spirit of God working. If you then, let's say this first. If the Spirit is given in answer to prayer, and His influence is always connected to prayer. See, the Spirit is what we're talking about. The Spirit of God. That's a capital S here in these verses. The Spirit of God's always connected with prayer. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, are you listening? How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Luke chapter 11, verse 13. Jesus said that. So what is it that He gives? The Spirit. The Spirit. But the motive for asking for the Spirit to be given must be the right one. Only that you might be made more useful to God and His kingdom, and that God be glorified. That's a good reason for asking for God's Spirit to guide you and help you. Well, we believe, and I believe it's right, and I don't see how it can be any other way. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit of God makes His abode in you. He comes in. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost of God. But there's a difference in the fullness and how much influence He has in your life now. The more you yield, the more He has control. And the better it is. The more you learn of God, of His Word, through His Word, the more liberty the Spirit has to work in your life and in your heart and in your prayers. Talk about prayer warriors. Well, there's no such thing as a prayer warrior who's a carnal person and that's fleshly and lives after the world, and they come to church and they're some kind of prayer warrior. That is nonsense. The only kind of prayers that are going to have any effect are the prayers where the Spirit of God has worked, led you into it, showed you how to pray and what to pray for. Because you don't know. You don't even know what to pray for without His help. Not for any selfish reason, such as to make you happy or of reputation or to give you some kind of thrilling experience to talk about. You ever hear people talk about, boy, the Spirit was in that place. I'm telling you, I had shivers go all up and down my spine, and I'm telling you, the goosebumps and... We was a shouting and a... Well, let me tell you something. You're going to have a hard time finding that in the Bible. That ain't the work of the Holy Spirit of God. I don't care how many of the Baptists say it is, or the Pentecost say it is, or whatever. That's not in the Bible. They never did that in the Bible. That was never the work of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God was at work in their prayers, in their witnessing, in their preaching. That's where the Spirit of God was manifest and obvious. They had power from on high, and that was the Spirit of God. All right, I'm just about done here. Hang on. We can no more pray without the Spirit's help than we can get saved without the Spirit's help. So forget it. Why even pray if all you're going to do is just pray some little old piddly prayer, the recitation? Nah. Prayer without the Spirit of God's leading will be no more effective than preaching without the leading of God's Spirit, the anointing of God's Spirit. It's ineffective, worthless, really. Prayer without the Spirit of God leading is not going to be effective. So prayer is a spiritual exercise. It's not a religious exercise or ritual. If you want somebody to pray for you because you have some need, you better find somebody that can pray in the Spirit. Not just somebody that can recite a prayer and give you a blessing with words. That ain't going to get it done. That ain't going to move God. That ain't going to change a thing. That ain't going to bring no fire down from heaven or anything else. Only those who pray in the Spirit can pray effectually. Again, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication to all or for all saints. Perseverance and supplication for all saints. It'd change the whole church if everybody pray for everybody else. Really pray. If you'd pray in the Spirit, if you'd let the Spirit of God lead you in prayer, if you give Him time, if you'd lay things aside long enough, He'd have you praying for everybody else in here and a whole bunch of other people that you know. And people that you don't even know of. And it would change everything. Change your life. Change your attitude. Change your whole feelings about other people. It'd change your whole feelings about yourself and everything. Be a wonderful thing. That's the way the Spirit of God works in prayer. Printing my paper upside down here. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. That's how you know it's a spiritual prayer. Because it's intercession for the saints according to the will of God. We pray selfishly too much. You know, even when we're praying for somebody to be healed, you know, I've thought about that for years. How in the world? How do you pray for? Bible says pray for the sick. So I know God accepts and is pleased when we pray for people that are sick. But when we go to God and we won't accept anything but what we want to happen, when we won't accept from God, if He says no, we won't accept it. We want Him healed now. And if He don't heal Him, He ain't answering our prayer. Well, we've all asked a lot of questions and we didn't get a yes on all of them, did we? From anybody, let alone God. We have to pray in the will of God means we have to be submissive to Him and trust Him, even if He says no. You won't lose your faith if you believe right and you do it that way. These people, these preachers that teach people to pray, you know, for healing, and they're believing God for healing, and they just won't accept it any other way. God's going to heal them. We know He is. And then when God don't heal them and they die, you know what happens to a lot of them? They forsake God. I mean, they're wiped out because I prayed and God didn't answer my prayer. Wasn't nothing to it. Wasn't real. You just got to, that was not a prayer of faith, because that ain't real faith. Real faith is you trust God no matter what you do. Job said, though He slay me, yet will I trust in Him. But modern people don't say that. They say, I'll believe in Him long as He does what I want. If He'll give me what I want, they're like Jacob. If you'll go with me in the way that I go, and you'll make me prosperous, and you'll bless me, I'll give you the tithe. No, God don't bargain with us like that. He wants us to pray and ask Him. And He knows we don't understand. And He knows that we're going to ask for things that He can't do. And be good. And be wise. And be a faithful, true God. There's things we've asked for that He couldn't do. I'm far enough along till I realize, and I can say this, I'm glad that God didn't answer some of my prayers. Because it would have messed up everything. Because I thought I knew. And I thought I knew what needed to be done. And what I needed. And what they needed. And how to fix this thing. And it would have made a terrible mess. God knew that. He said, no. He said, just let me handle this. You just trust me. And it'll be all right. You got to learn to pray like that. And the Spirit will help you to pray like that. All right. Let's stand. Very few people really understand that. I really believe that's right. People struggle with prayer more than they do about anything. You know, it's one of the things that people struggle with very much. That's why there's more books on prayer. There's more articles and everything else trying to help people with prayer. But they never go here. I've never read a book. I've never seen it where they go here and I've read books about prayer, asking and receiving. Prayer, how to get your prayers answered. You know, how to get from God. Pray the prayer of Jabesh. Jabez, yeah. Just keep me from trouble, make me rich and prosperous, and don't let me have any trouble all my life. Praise God, that's what I want. So God granted his request, and that's the last you ever heard of him. Well, I want more than that. I want to see God work in people's lives. It's wonderful to pray, and the Spirit leads you to pray. Sometimes you pray. You ever pray for something you didn't really realize you was going to pray for? Ask God something you didn't really think about before, and it just... And then it really happened. Well, I'd rather have it that way. Yep. Amen. All right. Bow with me. Now, Father, we do thank you for allowing us to be here together tonight. We do. We appreciate your word, appreciate your spirit helping us to understand these things. Lord, we thank you for the truth, and I pray you'd help us, Lord, now, as we go from here to remember these things. And when we pray, that we'd remember to sit still and wait for you to lead us and show us, calm our mind and our heart, and point us in the right direction, and get our heart right and our mind thinking right before we come to the throne of grace to obtain help. Lord, we pray that you'd help us to be thinking of others more than ourselves. So much need, so many needs, and we know you'll take care of us. So Lord, help us to be more focused on the needs of others, so many people. Thank these people we talked to yesterday, and the grief and the sorrow and the loss. And Lord, tonight they're still feeling and still weeping about it. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to have a burden for folks like that and others. Please save our lost loved ones. Please work in hearts. Lord, I pray. Pray you get us home now. Pray you'd bless the week, the rest of the week here. Help us to be a blessing to somebody. Lord, help us to be fruitful. Pray you'd bless our church. Pray we could see more folks here. Help us Sunday. Pray visitors would be here. And I pray you would speak to hearts. Be with each one as they go home tonight. Watch over them on the road. Pray you'd work in every heart here, Lord, in the days to come. I pray they'd draw closer to you. Lord, they'd seek your face more, and they'd understand the things of God. Help these young people and these kids, Lord. I pray they wouldn't be listening to the world and letting the devil sow seed in their mind and heart. Pray you'd spare them from that, Lord, I pray. We love you, Lord, and thank you again for the service tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.